Almost all of the lessons in August. But I think what Brother Sturstad shared last Sunday about parents instilling self-esteem in their children encapsulated a lot of what we missed with the guest speakers. But the guest speakers added quite a bit to what we missed out on. So, family, church, and culture is the topic today from our series on marriage and the family. And I think the interaction of those three entities can be have a positive outcome. However, the things of the world and the enemy of our soul, Satan, is going to try to make it cataclysmic and end in catastrophe. But thank God we're able to see from examples of what not to do, examples from the Word of God, and then examples of what we can do as well. And through it all, the hand of the Lord. We'll take a glimpse at some of the lesson text today. Genesis 13, first of all. With Lot trying to make his decision in which way he was going to go. And the Bible says Lot lifted up his eyes. He should have lifted them higher to the things of God. And instead he was captured by the culture that was around him. However, God's mercy in Genesis 19... God's mercy in extending his hand to Lot prior to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the warning that was given by the angels, the miracles that happened that should have convinced him right off that this is not a game. This is not something that you can play with. This is not something you can delay. In fact, verse 16, while he lingered, there was delay in his actions. There was a pause in his escape. But look at the mercies of God. They laid hold upon his hand, the hand of his wife, the hand of his two daughters. Thank the Lord that God is not going to stand aloof and apart and say, well, it's just up to you. Thank the Lord for prayers that are being answered on behalf of loved ones. And Abraham held on to the Lord, and this was a result. And then finally, John 17, where the Lord is praying for the followers of Jesus to be kept from evil. In verse 15, don't take them out of the world. That is going to happen. That is going to take place. The church is going to be removed from the world. Praise God. But at this point, we are to be the salt and the light of the world. The salt of the earth, the light of the world. That's our position, our responsibility now. And to be kept from evil. And then the final verse 18, I have sent them into the world. You are sent into the world. All right, look at the focused verse. And again, this summarizes everything that is presented in these passages that we've looked at. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't let its culture, don't let its values, don't let its pressures change you. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that renewing of your mind is not some positive self-help, changing your mind for dummies type text that you would look at. But it's transformation by the power of God. And that's what this passage is referring to. And then the good, the acceptable, the perfect will of God is established in your life as you follow after the Lord. And that would be our purpose. The focus thought summarizes it very well. God's Word, God's Spirit, are the offense and the defense against an ungodly culture that is constantly trying to pressure you into making decisions contrary to the Word of God. And we want to make sure we're following what God's Word is directing us to do. God's Word, by the way, presented in a TV series called The Bible. And 13 million people are said to have tuned in to that presentation last year, I guess it was presented. And people are interested in the Bible. In fact, following that, the Barna group that constantly tracks religious themes and ideas in the country did a poll, and they discovered that 88% of Americans own a Bible. And not just a Bible, but the average ownership of the Bible in a household is 3.5 Bibles. Well, not half a Bible, of course, that's just the way it averages out. That there's that many Bibles in American homes. Thank God for that. However, the fact of ownership of a Bible does not mean they're following through on the principles that are contained in the Bible. That's the difference. And one preacher preached then about missing heaven by 15 inches or so. How can you miss heaven by 15 inches? The distance between your brain and your heart. It can be in your brain but not be in your heart, and that spells the difference. Now, culture is an influence that is everywhere, and especially in the media. Even as you go online, the pop-ups and the ads and all of that the influence is there. And so there's got to be a determination that says, I'm going to ignore that influence. Now, you got to remember, those companies spend millions of dollars in wanting to persuade you to buy their product, operate your home their way, drive the car that they choose. Millions of dollars is invested in those ads. People with college degrees whose only job it is to persuade you. So obviously we're behind the curve a little bit there, and so we've got to make sure we're following another plan. And that's where the Word of God becomes our defense and our offense, so that we can follow through on what His Word declares. And we recognize that choice is where we are. The first slide, I think, really summarizes for us our choice and our direction, that Jesus really is the only hope. The only hope. And not only the hope, but the cure for all of the ills of society today. And you don't have to look very far to understand there are an increasing amount of ills or wrongs in our society. That's not a doom and gloom message. That's just reality. That's just showing so many things that are happening in America, in the Western world, And certainly around the world, the atrocities that are being presented, and oftentimes under the auspices of religion, saying our God is directing us to do this, and the slaughter that goes on. There really is a number of problems that have to be corrected, and thank the Lord, Jesus is the one who is going to be able to bring that change. Now, those who ignore that opportunity are going to face sure judgment, just as in Noah's day, when the Bible describes the society and the culture, that their imagination was only evil, continually. And they focused totally on what was evil and taking them away from the precepts, the concepts of God. And judgment came. The flood, and Noah and his family floating above that judgment. Thank God, the Lord always makes a way for escape. There's always a way that we can receive the blessings of the Lord. And there's got to be a purpose, however, a definite purpose. Noah and his family worked for over a century on that purpose of creating a way of escape. And day after day, week after week, years, decades, and finally, the moment arrived for them to enter the ark, and God shut the door. And we know that that process, not necessarily an ark, but the door being shut by the Lord, is going to happen in our day. Thank God the door is wide open right now in terms of getting into an experience with God based on His Word that can bring about a transformation and a change. However, there's got to be a purpose. And the scripture from Daniel 1 and 8 that helps us to see Daniel's purpose in his heart. Here he is, a young man. His land has been invaded. His city has been destroyed. He's been taken captive into a godless heathen culture. He's been forced to learn and work in that environment. But yet, in all of that, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with meat that was offered to idols. One true God was the cry of Daniel's heart, and he was going to make sure that he followed through with that purpose. We can have an identical purpose in our hearts today in the society in which we are living in. There are those who are saying America is no longer a Christian nation, and Christian principles are being pushed aside, and ideas of religion are being eliminated in terms of politics and being politically correct and all of this sort of thing. But I think what Daniel did and the corresponding result of that is found in Daniel chapter 1, 19 and 20, that they were 10 times better than all of his colleagues, all of the others who went along with the king's program, not only in education, but assimilating themselves into that culture and going along with all of the religious aspects of idol worship and so on. Daniel and his companions were found to be 10 times better. God's way is always better. Amen. It's not always the easiest, but it's always better. Amen. Now, the scripture from Genesis 13 that we looked at earlier, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan. Now remember, these men were shepherds. They had flocks. The reason for this choice that needed to be made is because they prospered so much. Abraham and his flocks increased to a great degree. And likewise with Lot. And so Abraham made the offer to Lot, saying, whenever you choose, I'll choose the opposite. You choose the plains, I'll take the hills. You take the hills, I'll take the plains. Almost immediately, there should have been a statement by Lot saying, oh, no, you choose first. You're the elder. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to respect you. But that's not what happened. Lot was intent on determining where he was going to go, and he looked at the culture of Sodom and Gomorrah. And indeed, it was beautiful. Look at how it's described here. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. And so Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan. And I heard one preacher say that Lot's vision was no higher than a cow's. He liked the grassy plains. He liked the provender that was made available to him. But look at how that passage ends. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Huh. That should have been a red flag, shouldn't it? I need Genesis 13 up. That's here. I'm quoting that passage, and the wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly would be the red flag that would say, oh, wait a minute. It may look like the garden of the Lord. It may have great plains. There may be grasses and so on, but there's this evil influence. There's this problem. There's this situation that is going to cause a great deal of pain and problem to my family. And then that's what happened. Now, let's quickly jump down to Genesis 19 and see here the command of the angels to Lot as he sat in the gate of Sodom. In other words, he's not just part of the culture, he's part of the government. He's part of those who controlled commerce that went in and out of the gates of the city. So, he's an important man, and obviously very much a part of what's going on there. And they came to him in Genesis 19 and asked him, "Hast thou any here besides son-in-law, sons, daughters?" And it's interesting that the angels focused on people, not things, not possessions, not belongings, not goods, people, your sons-in-law, your sons, your daughters, those that you have here, and bring them out of the city, because this place is going to be destroyed. And the message was there. Make sure that you are following through. Now, look at verse 14 of Genesis 19, if that slide could go up. How sad that there was not a spiritual element in Lot's voice up until this point. Perhaps he paid a bit of lip service to the fact that we're serving one God. But the culture around him compromised him so much that this is the outcome now in verse 14. He seemed as one that mocked. It's like he was making a joke. Like he was leading them on. That there would be a punchline later on. I definitely don't want my life to be a joke. I want to make sure I'm following through on what the Word of God says and to be able to walk in that way. All right, let's look at the second slide that contrasts Abraham's choice. His choice of lifestyle was one of righteousness. And it didn't matter where he lived. He was going to live a life of righteousness, whether it was in the plains or whether it was in the hills. Regardless of what the culture around him was doing, he determined there's going to be a culture of righteousness. Amen. And that's our choice. And Brother Bartlett's coming to finish up here with a look at some of the other people who made choices that were godly choices as well. And that's definitely the challenge of where we are today.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. Continuing on, the influence of culture on people of God. The influence of culture on the people of God. Today, hopefully that's me. Hopefully that's you today. Those that are in the house of God would consider themselves to be, or at least desiring to be, the people of God. The culture that we live in today seems extremely powerful and seems to have great influence. Has great influence on what we wear. It has great influence on what we drive. We as people of God probably don't have our own car manufacturing companies, house building companies, clothing. We do have some people that make clothing for us because it's getting harder and harder in the world in which we live to find modest clothing to wear, stuff that's acceptable to wear, and not everything that's out there is godly. And we understand that. We live in this environment, and it has influence. And some of that cultural influence that we live in is not necessarily bad and evil. You know, not everything outside of these four walls is bad. There is good out there, but we must be very vigilant and careful about the influence that culture has on the people of God. The Holy Spirit lives in and guides the people of God, setting their standard of values and correcting their course of direction. I'm thankful for that. I live each day with the prayer, I want to be led by your Spirit. I don't want to be led by this world. This world will lead you down roads that you don't want to go, and it'll take you farther than you want to go, and you end up in places you don't want to be. I want to be led each day by your Spirit. God, help me today. Guide me today. I want to be led by you. Nevertheless, they are not immune from the subtle influences of culture. The culture of the world acts on everyone, but believers are to resist its evil influence. Some professing to believers choose to isolate themselves and say, well, if I'm not going to be influenced by this world, I need to withdraw from this world. I need to take myself out of the picture so that I am not, and out of all the places in the world, Sterling is one of those places that is a place that people have withdrawn to. If you don't want to be bothered, if you don't want your neighbors knocking on your door, Sterling's a great place for you to live, right? You find a lot of people like that in this community, and that's fine. It is the real Alaskan experience. Amen. Hallelujah. And those that live here love living here. Amen. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is not for his people to isolate themselves from the culture. God's plan is not for us to remove ourselves and become a group unto ourselves and just minister to ourselves and everything is about us. And, well, the reason we're doing it is it's a good reason. We're trying to live for God. Well, this experience is not just for you. This experience is not just for me. The God that I serve loves everyone. And so if his people just group to themselves, I won't preach on this morning. I don't have the time. But if people of God just group to themselves, how in the world are we ever going to reach this world? How are we going to reach friends? Well, I don't want to have worldly friends. How are you ever going to reach them if you're not their friend? Where we must be careful is on the influence that the world has on us. We don't need to seclude ourselves and be away from the world. We must live in the world, but not be of the world. We need to be the ones who are the influencers. Amen? Isolation is not God's idea of the Christian walk. He encourages insulation, not isolation. God can keep us in the world that we live in. God can keep us safe in the world that we live in. God can keep us from evil influences in our life in the world that we live in. All right. Now we got that out of the way. Glory to God. We're going to look at some of the stories here. Canaan, the house of bread, and a godly culture. Elimelech and his wife Naomi migrated to Moab during a famine in Bethlehem. Look at the interesting things, and I think most of us know this story. Bethlehem, they're in the famine. But Bethlehem, the name means house of bread. A place where their supply or their needs would be met, where food would be there if they trusted in God. They chose to leave. They migrated to Moab, hoping for a better existence, more sustenance, a place that where they would hopefully find food. Not only did they leave the house of bread, but they left a godly culture. They were in a culture that was godly. There was not an evil influence in their life where they were in Bethlehem. They had two sons. They married in Moab. And so now they had two daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah. And in the time of them being there, the father and the two sons die. And now there is a widow and two stepdaughters that have a choice to make. And the choice is made, I need to go back to my home. I need to go back to where there is godly influence in my life. And so the choice was given. And two daughters-in-laws made two very different choices. They made two different choices. Now, we can go back, and like we do in all the things that happen in our life, we can go back and look at it and say, well, if we had just done things differently, then we would have gone through that situation differently. Well, we don't. We don't have that option of traveling back in time and going through things again. And it has, as they looked back over their life, they probably thought, well, why in the world would I leave Bethlehem? I needed to stay there and just trust God for bread. And so I should have been able to go through that famine. And as we continue on, you'll see that Boaz stayed there, and Boaz was blessed through the famine. And so you look at different situations in your life, and you wonder the choices that you've made to maybe walk away from God or in certain situations and not put your trust in Him, and then you go back later, and why in the world would I do that? Why would I not trust God through this situation and allow Him the opportunity to bless me? I totally took that option off the table by walking away. And so, looking at Moab, the land of a cursed heathen culture, this narrative should offer hope and encouragement to people who are living outside of the will of God. It should also bolster the faith of people, the people of God, who have family members not living a righteous life that they once lived. God's hand was still on them. They had chosen to leave. They went outside and left the blessings of God. But we have hope today. We have hope today for family members, friends that have left this life and have chosen to go another path. But God can still be with them. And in the midst of their darkest hour, God can still make Himself known and be real to them and bring them back into, hallelujah, relationship with Him. Amen. So Naomi announced her departure. She's going. I'm going back home. Ruth 1:16-17. Entreat me. This is Ruth said, I will not leave you. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. I'm going. No matter what, I'm going. I want your God to be my God. It was obvious the culture of Moab was the determining factor in Orpah's decision to remain in her homeland. Yet we see Ruth rejoicing, and we see Orpah weeping. Ruth rejected her heathen culture. She left. She got out of her heathen culture. And we see Ruth left rejoicing. Because the end of this story, she ends up marrying Boaz, who was a blessed man. And if you look down through history, she is the great-grandmother of David, King David, in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You see what God can do in a life? Hallelujah. The influence of family and church on culture. Transparency 3. And this is where I wanted to get to, and we'll see if we have time to get through all of it here. Number 3. I think a lot of our emphasis at times is on the negative aspect of this, and that we don't want the world to influence us. We don't want to be influenced by Hollywood. Oh, Lord, help us if we're influenced by Hollywood. I want this on the podcast. Hollywood is a bunch of crazy people that need God, desperately need God. They think they have all the answers to the world, and because they have the finances and the influence with the theaters throughout our country and around the world, they think that they make sense, and they don't. They need God. Hallelujah. The church can influence the culture of the world. We don't have multiple theaters in every, we don't have multiple churches in every city around the globe. Hallelujah. But we're getting there in Jesus' name. The church can have an influence in the culture of this world, and it is. In Acts, the church impacted the entire world. Hallelujah. If it happened just in Jerusalem, it impacted every language, every culture of the time. It impacted it with the power of God. Hallelujah. Instead of the culture of the world influencing the church. Hallelujah. We don't have to go with every fad. We don't have to have all the latest. I mean, we've got projectors, and we still call them transparencies, but we're not back in the dark ages. We have heat, we have plumbing. You know, that was an influence from culture. I'm so thankful for plumbing. Amen. Hallelujah. Running water, heat in the wintertime, lights. And we've even got the little curly lights, which they're probably going out of style now. Anyways, we're going to have to go to LED here pretty soon to stay up with the culture of the world. But, so not all of it's bad. But we need to understand that it is up to us, being led by the Spirit and the power of God and the anointing of God on our lives, to influence the world in which we live. Hallelujah. It's not LED light bulbs that are going to save people. It's not running water and heat that we've gotten from this world that is going to take people to heaven someday. Hallelujah. It is the power of God in their life. Hallelujah. The infilling of His Spirit, speaking in tongues, being baptized in Jesus' name. These are the things that are going to influence and change the culture of this world. Amen. The church can have a strong influence on our culture. 1 John 4:4, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So the greater influence is in you. The greater influence is in you. Hallelujah. If He is in you, then you are the greater influence. But I'm struggling today. I don't know if I can be an influence today. I just don't. Those are the times in your life that you need to spend some time on your knees. God, I need Your strength today. I need words of wisdom today. I need to be the one encouraging today. I need to be the one that's going to strengthen my friend and strengthen my coworker with words from Your Word. I need You today. Because I want to be the influence. I want to be so full of Him that it just comes out. Hallelujah. Paul said, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, in Galatians 5:17. It also says, the spirit lusteth against the flesh. The Holy Spirit is the most powerful force on earth. When the spirit-filled family functions in a community, they represent real force. Their influence on culture is more than they realize. And I'm not saying that you need to go stand on the corner and preach every day. Although if you wanted to, more power to you. Amen. Make an impact. Whatever you need to do, make an impact. But a lot of times, your life, your consistency, the way that you live, the way that you present yourself, the way you treat others, the way you act, the way you speak, these are the things that makes an impact on your community. It makes an impact in your workplace. I watch people, and they don't always do it. They don't always catch themselves. But I watch people when I walk into a room. Language will change. The joke all of a sudden gets quiet. Right? Making an impact. Influencing the environment that you're in by your example and by your consistency. We need to change the channel. Jeff came in. Let's put it on hunting or something non-offensive to anybody. And I'm not in there to hang out in the TV room or anything. It's the break room, so I'm going to sit down and I'm going to read and I'm going to do whatever I need to do and mingle with my coworkers. But the point is, if you're there and you're living an example, it's your life that's the example to them. And it makes an impact. I was surprised because I'm one of many workers out there. I think the last time I was out there, we had 57 people on our facility, which is crazy. That's too many people to have out there. We're legally allowed to have that many out there, but it's a lot of people. You're rubbing shoulders. You're bouncing around people playing pinball trying to get to the dinner line. But one small light. No one, I mean, we pray, God, set me ablaze, make me a big bonfire for you. But in a dark world that we live in, one small light, one small candle, one little match with a little flame can make such a huge difference in our world. Hallelujah. We need to live it every day. Be consistent with our testimony. Be consistent with our actions. Be consistent with our words. Believers are the light in the culture. God is light. 1 John 1:5. Matthew 5:14, 15. Says, ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's not about you getting glorified. Oh, isn't he such a great person? Isn't he wonderful? No. Isn't God good? Isn't God great? Isn't God awesome? Believers reflect the light of Jesus Christ into the dark world, and they positively affect the culture. Positively affect the culture. Many forces work to eliminate the Bible and the church from the contemporary culture, but they fail to realize how valuable these entities are in holding back the horrible things soon to come upon the world. Thank God for the light of the church in this dark world. And we are the salt today. We are the salt. Matthew 5:13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Basically, salt that has no flavor is no good. Might as well be putting sand on your food, right? What's salt? It's a rock. Might as well just throw it on the ground and walk on it. Useless. God, help us today not to lose our flavor, our usefulness to this world. If we blend in and we taste exactly the same as the world, If we look and act the same as the world, we lose our effectiveness trying to be relevant with this world and trying to be like the world so that the world will come. Useless. You might as well throw it on the ground and walk all over it. Absolutely useless. We need to be different. We need to be the flavor. What does salt do? Salt brings out the flavor in foods. So we need to, hallelujah, we need to be the salt and bring out of the world. We need to bring them out of the world. Hallelujah. So, let's see, where are we at here? I'm out of time. That's it. The church, the people of God, the hope of the lost. The greatest influence the family and the church have on culture is exposure to truth that opens doors to salvation. Without the church, the world has no hope of being saved. Since people cannot be saved without hearing the gospel, and preachers preach the gospel, the world needs the church. Preaching is part of the fivefold ministry of the church. It would be foolish for a snake-infested region to want to destroy the only antidote. Right? Why in the world would the world want to destroy the only thing that gives them hope in this world? Why would they come against the church and destroy the only hope, the only light that is in this world? Hallelujah. We need to be the light. Pastor, come. Hallelujah.
Thank the Lord. And the message comes through loud and clear. You have a choice. You have a choice. And obviously the advertisers want to make that choice for you. Culture wants to make that choice for you. But you have a choice. Abraham made his choice. And then he was visited by the angels, and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was revealed to him, and Abraham made his choice. He prayed, Lord, if there's 50 righteous, if there's 45, 40, 30, 20, 10, sound like an auctioneer going in reverse. But he held on to the Lord, and he made sure that the Lord heard his voice, and the Lord agreed. If there's just 10 righteous in the sprawling metropolis of Sodom and Gomorrah, then they would not be destroyed. Your position in this world, as Brother Bartlett described the salt and light that the scripture makes mention of, your position in this world as a believer is very, very important. Society today may mock the Bible and consider it outdated and irrelevant, but you hold a very important place in your prayer life, and you're reaching out to God on behalf of your family, your loved ones, the community, your fellow workers. Everyone that you're praying for makes a huge difference. Now let's put the third slide back up, because here again is choice. The church in the world or the world in the church? That's the choice. All the water in the world cannot sink a ship unless that water gets inside. So, I have to make this choice. Am I going to allow culture to influence me to the detriment of my walk with God? Or am I going to choose to be the influence that God wants me to be in this world? Lot thought he was making a good choice. Look at how well-watered the plains are. Look at how profitable it's going to be for me. Look at how comfortable and convenient the city of Sodom and Gomorrah is. He thought he was making a choice of gain. But we see the end result is he made choices that result in loss. He lost his daughters and sons-in-law and grandchildren. And oh my, how precious grandchildren are. And he ended up losing. They laughed at him. They thought he was making a joke that it's going to be destroyed. Well, how would you receive a message? In 24 hours, Anchorage is going to be obliterated. You got to make sure you get all your loved ones out of there. Get all your, you know, we would have a hard time believing that. But if our lifestyle is based on scripture and spiritual concepts, that is not out of the realm of possibility. And it was reality for Lot. He ended up losing his wife. He ended up losing self-respect and the incest situation with his daughters. It just ended up being a loss. They lived, but horrible loss. God help us to make the right choices. Abraham chose the way of righteousness, and the Lord can help us make the right choices. Amen. Let's stand today.